Hello, everyone. This is Mark Davis, and I want to welcome you to the Gospel Explorations podcast, where we gather together each week to take time to explore God's Word to learn how we ought to live in this present age. I'm glad you've chosen to spend some time with us today. Let's jump into today's episode. Well, hello, and welcome back to the Gospel Explorations podcast. We're thankful that you're taking some time out of your day to spend it with us as we look through the book of Matthew. Today, we're in Matthew chapter 5, looking at verses 17 through 20. And this is kind of where Jesus begins a very long discourse on the law. And what he kind of says here begins to frame out for us, sets a foundation for how this entire process or conversation is going to go. So if you would, let's take our Bibles and look at Matthew chapter 5 and read together verses 17 through 20. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So as we look at this picture here, are these words that Christ speaks in his relationship to the law, we learn a few things. And the first thing that Christ clarifies is that he did not come to destroy the law. There were some that were teaching that's what Christ had come, and Jesus began this long discussion of the law, and he wanted to make it clear that he did not oppose what God had given Israel and what we would reference as the Old Testament. He did not come to destroy the Word of God, but rather he came to free it from the way the Pharisees and the scribes were wrongly interpreting it. And so he was coming to give clarification. He was coming to fulfill the law, but not to destroy it. And Jesus makes it clear that he had authority apart from the law of Moses. He did not come to destroy it, but to fulfill it, he says, not in contradiction to it. And that's something that's really important we need to understand, is that Christ did not come to abolish the law. He did not come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. And Jesus added nothing to the law except really one thing that no man had ever added to the law, and that was perfect obedience. And that's the way that Jesus Christ fulfilled the law, was that he kept it in perfection. He perfectly obeyed the law of God. And even though there were times where we see Christ challenging the interpretations of the law, primarily in this area of Sabbath regulations, Jesus never broke the law of God. He questioned their interpretations of the law. He questioned how they put it to practice, but he never broke the law. And so in so doing, Jesus fulfilled the doctrinal teachings of the law in that he brought full revelation. He fulfilled the predictive prophecy of the law in that he was the promised one from the beginning. And references in the Old Testament, he had come to fulfill as the promised one, as the Messiah. He also fulfilled the moral and legal demands of the law, and that he obeyed them in their entirety, and he interpreted them in their truth. You see, because the problem was the Pharisees and the scribes were going around interpreting scripture apart from the way that God had designed, and Christ came, and he fulfilled it by keeping it in obedience, perfectly obedient to it, and by fulfilling it according to the truth of the law. And then he also fulfilled the penalty of the law when he died on the cross, taking our sin penalty that we deserved. And so Jesus fulfilled the law completely in every point. He fulfilled the law. And even the Apostle Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 10, verse 4. We read this, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." The picture here that Paul is writing is that Christ fulfilled the law completely. If you believe in Christ as your Savior, he's dotted all the I's, crossed all the T's. He's fulfilled the law on your behalf 100%. He's kept it in its entirety. He's fulfilled the penalty of the law. He's fulfilled the moral and legal demands of the law. Everything about the law is fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. And then we read these words, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall nowise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." And so Jesus was reminding them, not only did he fulfill the law, but he would keep the law, preserve the law, until it was fulfilled in its entirety. He fulfilled the law in fulfilling the legal demands and the penalty of sin, but ultimately one day the law will be fulfilled in its entirety, as everything that Christ said from the beginning would come to fruition, that every prophecy would be fulfilled in its entirety. And he says, not one jot or one tittle. These are the smallest markings in the Hebrew language. And these are just little tiny, I mean, we could liken it to the dot of an I and a cross of a T, basically. It's just these little tiny markings. And he says, not even these things will pass away. He was making us understand that we, not only the ideas of the word of God important, but even the words themselves, even down to the very letters, the very marks that make up the letters, that make up the words, all of these things are important. And it shows us really the high regard that Christ has for the word. And he says that it would be all fulfilled, that it would nothing would pass. These little markings would not even be erased or forgotten until all of the word is fulfilled. And he fulfills it in several different senses. First off, it's a fulfillment in the assurance that Jesus Christ himself fulfilled the law by his perfect obedience. And so we understand that the law would be fulfilled by the perfect obedience of Christ. And it's also the assurance that Jesus himself fulfills the law in us by his perfect obedience. You see, we're able to keep the law not because we can obey, but because he obeyed and he died in our stead. He fulfilled the law on our behalf. And then the third thing is the understanding that God's plan will never be set aside until all things are fulfilled at the end of the age. We know by reading the scriptures, there is still more prophetic events to take place. There's still more future things to unfold that haven't yet happened. And so it hasn't yet all been fulfilled. And now a lot of it has been in the person of Christ. A lot of it has been. But the reality is it's not completely fulfilled up to this point. And Jesus tells us that not one jot, not one tittle would pass away from the law until all is fulfilled. And then he goes on to say this, "Whoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments, shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same should be called great in the kingdom of heaven." And what he's speaking to is the commandments here are to be obeyed and explained as fulfilled by Jesus's life and teaching. He was saying that these Pharisees and these scribes and their legalistic thinking and their wrong interpretation of the scripture, he was making it clear that there is a right way and a wrong way to approach the commandments of God's word. And so he makes it clear that it matters how we interpret scripture and it matters how we teach the scripture to others, because the reality is this, is that but the Christian is done with the law as the means of gaining a righteous standing before God. When Christ fulfilled the tenets of the law, when Christ came and fulfilled all the points of the law, we no longer have to keep the law in order to have a right standing before God. And we know that because in Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, Paul says this, "I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." And what he's saying is that if our righteousness would come through our keeping the law, then Christ didn't have to die. But we understand that Christ did die in order to fulfill the law because we needed a righteous standing before God. And so that's not the purpose of the law. Rather, the purpose of the law for us today, it stands as an expression for us of God's ethical character. It stands as an expression for us of how God desires that we ought to live. And so while the law sends us to Jesus Christ to be justified, because it shows us that we're unable to keep it, we're not able to keep the law, we're unable to please God in ourselves. So when we go to the law, we see that we are not able to keep the law. That's one of the things we learn about the law, is the law is given to us to show us that we are sinners, that we cannot keep the law. And so when we go to the law, we see that we cannot keep it. But then once we come to Christ, Christ sends us back to the law so that we can learn the heart of God, so that we can understand how we ought to behave. We can understand this process of sanctification. And so the law is not meant to save. The law is meant to condemn. The law is meant to show us that we are sinners and we need salvation. Once we come to Christ, the law then becomes that schoolmaster. The law becomes that thing that then helps us to understand how we ought to live as children of the Heavenly Father. And so, of course, the Pharisees and scribes had it all upside down. They thought they had to keep every point of the law. And so they had their long laundry list, and they became very pious and very proud and arrogant in their keeping of the law. But the reality was they could never keep it because they were not perfect. They could not keep it in perfect obedience, which is what Christ speaks to in verse 20. For he says, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, let's be honest. There's no one else outside of the scribes and the Pharisees who had that kind of devotion to the law. And he says, if we're going to follow the law and hope to make it, we've got to be better than them. Our righteousness has to exceed their righteousness. And we understand that the reality is this: in Christ, our righteousness does exceed their righteousness, not in degree, but in the kind. You see, because they kept the law as best as possible as any human could keep the law. And even doing it as best as possible as any human could keep the law, they couldn't keep it. And so it wasn't good enough. And he says that in order for us to see the kingdom of God, in order for us to enter into the kingdom of God, our righteousness has to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And ultimately, you would look at that verse and think, well, then it seems like we're all kind of sunk and we're not going to be able to make it. Well, the good news is it's not our righteousness, it's the righteousness of Christ. And so what we find here is that it's not the degree at which we keep it, but it's the kind of righteousness, because our righteousness is different from the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees, it was their own righteousness. It was their own attempt at keeping God's law. For the believer, for a Christian, it's a different kind. It's not our righteousness, but his. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9, the Apostle Paul writes these words: "Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered but the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." He says this in verse number 9, "and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law." That was the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. He says, I don't have that righteousness. I have a different kind of righteousness, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And so when Jesus says here in this passage in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, that your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, what he's telling you is you can't get there on your own righteousness. You need my righteousness. And without it, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. And so Christ begins here this discussion that we're going to look at over the next few times together. As we work through Matthew chapter 5, he's beginning this discussion on the law, and he wants us to understand where he stands in relationship to the law, that he came to fulfill the law. He did not come to destroy it. He did not come to abolish it. He came to fulfill it, and in so fulfilling the law, he has made a way for you and I to be made right with God and to stand before him in his righteousness. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. I hope that you've been both encouraged and challenged today. If you want to connect with us further, please be sure to check us out on the web at gospelexplorations.com. We look forward to having you join us again next time.